The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. This is the Buffalo Sabres postgame show from our flagship station in Buffalo. Here's your host, Brian Cozio.
Works it back across. Now Dylan Cousins down on the ice. Dahlin, high slot, takes a shot, scores! I don't know if that was tipped. It may have been Zucker. By Zucker, who gets one for the Buffalo Sabres, and it's a 1-0 lead here in the third period.
That was the lone goal of the hockey game. 38 seconds into the third on the power play. Dahlin's shot redirected by Jason Zucker. His 200th career goal comes in a good moment, a winning goal. And our goal of the game brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. Well, of course, the Sabres needed that goal from Zucker, but they needed all the saves they could get from Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. 24 saves, shutout. And this one is our save of the game.
Charged with the kill and watching this guy, Kopitar. Nifty stick handling to gain the zone. Kempe to the far circle. Near side post, saved by Luukkonen. Oh, how did he get that left leg down there to make the stop? Still scoreless in this game.
That was the Sabres goaltender who played outstanding. 12 saves in the third and 24 overall. Save of the game brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. For the great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your local Upstate Honda dealers today. 1-0 Sabres win it. Their ninth win of the season, 9-9-1. Up next is Anaheim on Friday night. We will update you on the standings in the East. But I can at least tell you the Sabres are tied for the final wild card as of this moment. More details on that coming up. But let's get Paul Hamilton's thoughts here. Paul, after two, we talked about just winning a period, staying out of the penalty box. They won the period. They got the goal. They took one penalty and they got through it because of their goaltender.
They tried to take two, but the referees, in typical NHL fashion, there are two refs and two linesmen, and nobody saw Obi Cabell's high stick, so that didn't go up. But, the fact that they did take those penalties, only gave up four shots on the power play, which was they did some really, really good penalty killing.
That's 10 minutes for the Kings on the power play, 0 for 5.
Do you realize that McLeod played over 6 minutes shorthanded tonight? I mean, 6:07
wow.
On the penalty kill. Clifton played 6:04 on the penalty kill. Alex Tuch played 4:46 on the penalty kill. So, Alex Tuch played 22 minutes and 23 seconds, although his last shift was somewhere around 3 to 5 minutes. I'll look it up while we're talking, but... He couldn't get off the ice. The Sabres had five opportunities to clear the zone with the goaltender pulled. Five. And they never got the puck out till the very end. Yeah, Tuck's last shift was 3:22 because they got hemmed in and they never could get it out. But stop and think for a second. They got hemmed in. They had five opportunities to get it out. And the Kings only had two real good opportunities, the one by Byfield where he broke his stick when it came across, and the one right at the end where Kempe missed the net.
Yeah.
But those are really the only two chances they had with all that zone time and a bunch of dead-tired Sabres out there because some of them, like Tuck, got caught out there because they couldn't get off. Owen Power played 247. Cousins played 244. They were just dragging. Joakim Harju played 247. Benson played 246, all in the last shift, and they were caught. They couldn't get off. So, but the Kings seemed rather content to just keep the puck on the outside. They didn't really try to come inside with it until right near the very end, which, you know, when you had tired Sabres on the ice, kind of played right into their hands.
Yeah, it worked out for sure. Paul, for Luukkonen to come back with this effort after being out with his, I guess I'll call it a minor injury there, but with how he went into the injury playing great. I know I'm going to throw the Montreal game out, I guess, because he was not well playing in that game, right? Not 100%. Lindy Ruff said that. Previously, before that, he was excellent. And to pick up right where he left off, you're having this time off here is very impressive.
Well, you looked at it, he had played in 9 of 10 games, which is one of the reasons why Levi was in the spot he was in, because it was just too much inactivity. But if you want Luukkonen to be your number one goaltender, that's what you have to do with him. And you know, he started to really play well into that little streak. You know, 2 goals on 26 shots against Calgary, 1 goal on 26 shots against the Rangers, 1 goal on 38 shots against Ottawa, 2 goals on 23 shots against Detroit. You know, so he had just gone on a nice little streak of 4 games. You know, then the Montreal game where he tried to play injured came. And now he winds up with his 6th career shutout. So, you know, this is what he has to do. I don't know if people realize, down the stretch last year, he played more than any goaltender in the NHL and did well. I mean, so, you know, here they are. You mentioned it. They're now tied as far as playoff spots go. So, but that's the thing. It's to a point right now. There's too many teams that are bunched. The Rangers, as far as the wild card go, have gotten away from you. So there's the one spot. And you only need one spot. You don't need anything but that one spot. But the rest of it is starting to get away from them a little bit. So they can't wait too much longer to start getting to some consistency in their games, or they're going to fall way behind again, like they usually do around Thanksgiving time. So it's very important, this win. And, it, you know, and you can look at it, well, they're only 500, true. But, and they're probably not going to make the playoffs with a 500 points percentage. But now that they popped into 19 points, the Buffalo Sabres are now officially in the wild card ahead of the New York Islanders. So right now, if this season were to end, the Buffalo Sabres would be in the playoffs. And they, yes, the Tampa Bay Lightning have 2 games in hand on the Sabres, but Buffalo's only 2 points behind Tampa for 3rd place in the Atlantic Division, which is also a playoff spot. Now, Toronto has 26 points. Florida has 25. When you're looking at the wild card, the New York Rangers have 25. They have the number one spot. So those spots tend to be getting away a little bit, but you got in the wild card, Sabres 19, Islanders 19, Bruins 19, Flyers 18, Penguins 18, Senators 17, Columbus 16, Red Wings 16, Montreal 16. That's the whole Eastern Conference right there. The worst team in the Eastern Conference in points is 3 points out of a playoff spot. So that's how tight it is. So they've got to get it together now and start, you know, keep going on this little run. A couple of their losses, I think the reason people don't realize that they've won 5 out of 7 or giving them any credit for it is because they're too hung up on the 2 losses. Instead of being hung up on the 5 wins, they're hung up on the 2 losses because they were against the Montreal Canadiens and the Philadelphia Flyers. I don't know why everybody thought the Philadelphia Flyers were the sisters of the poor. I mean, they basically had the same record as the Sabres did. So they're basically the same. But, yeah, the Montreal Canadiens are one of the worst teams in the league, and they came in and beat the Sabres. But it just seems like everybody's ignoring the 5 wins out of 7. And, actually, if you want to go back even further, they have 8 wins and 5 losses in their last 13 games. That probably would get it done if you played on that pace. If you won 8 out of 13 for the rest of the season, I think you have – I'd have to sit down and do the math, but I think you'd have probably have a pretty good chance of making it.
Yeah, I mean, 8 out of 13 wins, that means you're picking up almost 62% of the points out of a possible 164, Paul. That's 101. That would get you in.
Yeah. So, you know, it's – and their power play is still hot. Their power play won them a game tonight. It's the only goal of the game. It was a power play goal in the 3rd period. And even though, I mean, you look at the shots all together, Buffalo only gave up 24 shots and only had 19. One of the reasons they only had 19 is because they only had 3 in the 2nd period where they spent the whole period killing penalties. That killed them. So they never got into any offensive flow. They got 9 shots in the 1st period. That, if you do that over 3 periods, you're going to have 27 shots, and then they had 7 in the 3rd. So there's 16 for you. If you get 8 more, you got 24, just like the Kings. The Kings had 6, 6, and 12. They kept a lot of what the Kings were doing to the outside. Lucan had to make some good saves and was there, you know, to make the big save at the big time. How many times do we talk about that? And you start your West Coast trip. Now, it's the second game of the road trip, so you're 1-1 in the road trip. But it's the first game out West, and you get a 1-0 win against a good team.
And the best team that you're going to play here on this California part, Paul, because you've got Anaheim and San Jose. And I probably should make the point that they've actually done quite well against some of the best teams in the league. Well, I'll throw LA into that mix. They've played 40 good minutes at home against them, as we mentioned, only got one goal in that game. But a win here tonight. They've beaten the Rangers in New York. They've beaten Dallas. They've beaten Florida. So they've beaten some of the best teams in the league. And then they've also lost to, you know, Montreal and some of these other teams in Columbus. So,
and when they beat Ottawa was playing pretty well at that time. And they beat them 5-1.
I guess my point is, what the other team's record is seems to have very little impact. When the Sabres bring their game and play their game, what Lindy wants them to do, they tend to do well. And when they don't, they lose. So, you know, I guess maybe you could say that about any team. But it seems as though, like, the quality of opponent, for the most part, doesn't seem to be, like, a huge hurdle for this team, I guess I would say.
And people don't realize either, the Calgary Flames have a 605 points percentage. They're in second place in the Pacific Division. The Sabres beat them too. I think people think the Calgary Flames are no good. They're 10-6-3 with a 605 points percentage, which is better than the Los Angeles Kings, who are 10-7-3. They have one more loss with a 575 points percentage. So the Calgary Flames are 1 point behind the Vegas Golden Knights for first place in the Pacific Division. So I think that win would go down as a good win for you also.
Yeah. Paul mentioned some of the stats there. Our final stats brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. They've changed and taken a save away from Lukanen, so now it's down to 23 in the game.
Of course
11 shots in the third, yes.
Of course they did.
Yeah.
Would
so
you
Lukanen
expect anything different?
Now, as soon as the second that I tweet out 24 saves and press post, then bang, it changes to 23. That's, you know, Murphy's Law,
and
right?
And when you get up in the morning, you'll have to redo your tweet again because they probably will redo the shots again before you get up in the morning. So
Wonderful.
It's kind of how they roll.
That's right. Now, Lukanen, 23 save shutout as of this moment. Riddick played well, 18 saves out of the 19 shots individually for the Sabres. In terms of shot totals, McLeod and Zucker led the way with 3 each in the game. Dylan Cousins and Beck Malenstein had 3 block shots each, so they did a nice job there as well. The Sabres overall as a team blocked 18 shots. Dynabraid.com power play update, powered by Dynabraid Tools, proudly made here in Buffalo. This is a story for the game. Paul mentioned the power play scoring again. The Sabres 1-of-3, and the penalty kill coming through in a huge way as the Kings go 0-of-5. And, Paul, now the Sabres are 2-1 without Tage Thompson dressing. So that is also something that if you would have said, hey, Thompson's going to miss 3 games, you're going to win 2-of-3, that I would have signed up for right away.
Yeah, and I'm still sitting here staring at McLeod's ice time. The 6:07 shorthanded, he only played 10:07 5-on-5. So, you know, he played 16 minutes in the game. 6:07 of them were shorthanded. Only 10 of them were 5-on-5, which is way out of whack from what you normally would see. So, you know, good game by Ryan McLeod and the penalty killers there. They needed him. Again, Lindy Ruff is something – I know they won, but Lindy Ruff is something that he's going to have to address. I mean, keep addressing, I should say, because he has been addressing it. There's no question he's been addressing it, but it was no better tonight. But they did such a good job penalty killing. And as I said earlier, your best penalty killer is often your goaltender. And I don't want to, you know, I don't want to forget about Riddick. He got the third star here. Well, he should have. I'm scratching my head how I know Zucker got his 200th NHL goal, but I don't see how he's the first star. I don't care if he scored the only goal or not. I mean, actually,
the goalies were 1 and 2.
You just read my mind. I think Zucker is number 3 because I thought Zucker overall had a good game. not just tipping in that power play shot, but I think Lukanen's got to be number one. Riddick has to be number two, and Zucker number three. You just don't go with the goal scorer. I mean, the goalies were the story of this game.
For sure. Sixth career shutout for Lukanen, and likely he'll be back in net for the Sabres next game on Friday against Anaheim at 10, and then they'll finish the California swing Saturday at San Jose. Paul, the Zucker goal himself that he scores, obviously it's important because it's the only goal of the game, but his ability around the net to create for others, win battles, create space, set up passes, but he also showed some really good hand-eye coordination on that play.
Which he does. It's not the first time he scored a goal like that. You might remember the first power play goal the Sabres had this year. I think it was similar.
Yep.
And so he's very good at that, something he's practiced a lot, he's very good at. And it's the little things with him. And I saw it again tonight. I saw it being in the building the other night, him playing with Kulik. And I saw it again when they had a picture of the bench. He's always talking to Kulik as they come off, always reviewing the shift with him. And I love seeing that, that the veteran, you know, kind of takes the kid under his wing and they're always communicating. And you can tell, you know, looking at Kulik, that he's like glued to him, like, yeah, and shaking his head and really seems to appreciate the feedback that he's getting right after shifts.
Paul, good work tonight. Appreciate it. And we will talk to you Friday for the Ducks and the Sabres.
Yes, I will be there. Oh, I won't be there, but I'll be there with you.
That sounds great. Looking forward to it. Thanks, Paul.
Take care.
All right, Paul Hamilton here on our post-game show. Yep, that game against Anaheim is a 10 o'clock puck drop. We'll have the Steve Foley Law pregame at 9 right here on our flagship WGR as the Sabres will try to push over the 500 mark. They're 9-9-1. All right, let's update you on the standings here, but while we do that, before we do that, let's get the scores in. Brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorney. The Leafs win at home, shutting out the Vegas Golden Knights 3-0. Carolina over Philadelphia 4-1. It was Dallas, a 5-2 win at home against San Jose. And the Kraken shut out the Predators 3-0. So what does that mean for the standings? Well, we mentioned it, the Sabres winning puts them into a three-way tie for what would be the final playoff spot, but as of this moment, based on tiebreaker, the Sabres would be the second wild card. Rangers have 6 points more and two more games in hand at 25. The third-place team in the Atlantic is Tampa Bay, 2 points better than Buffalo. They have 21. Florida's in second with 25, and with the Leafs win tonight, they move into first. They've won 3 in a row, 7-2-1 in their last 10. Toronto is now in first in the Atlantic with 26. The best team in the East is Carolina. They also won today. They have 28, and Washington just continues to play well, 13-4-1. They're 27 points second, but they'll be without Ovechkin for a little bit here as he is injured. Speaking of injuries, will the Sabres see Tage Thompson? Well, that'll be a question going into Friday's game against the Ducks. We know there won't be Greenway. He didn't make the trip. We know that also, you know, Matias Samuelsson out for a while, but Tage Thompson, the Sabres could get a boost and get him back on Friday night. Our injury report brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at Catholic Health St. Joseph Campus. Go with Joes. And that'll put a wrap on our post game. Want to thank you for staying up late with us here as the Sabres win it by a score of 1-0. Want to thank our crew, Evan DePasquale, our network producer. Thank you, Evan. Kyle Powell on our social media, Paul Hamilton, our reporter, Tom Matty is our engineer, and for our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. I'm Brian Cultiel. The final again from Los Angeles and Crypto.com Arena. It was the Sabres 1 and the Kings nothing. Buffalo improving to 9-9-1 on the season. We'll talk to you Friday night, Sabres and Ducks from Anaheim, right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.